You don't have to believe the stories on my blog. You can dismiss them as good hallucinations or bad fiction if you want to, but they're all true. The darkness was never empty. There are things that wait for the innocent and unwary to turn their backs. What is it you think I'm talking about here? Ghosts? Vampires? Ghouls? If only it were that simple. The creatures of the night are still out there, but they're not shadowing your every footstep. They just check your status updates from the comfort of their tombs. All I ever wanted was to be a do-it-yourself style reporter, but more often than I like, I find myself becoming part of my stories. It turns out gods and monsters don't like their secrets getting out any more than your standard politician or celebrity. We all know how this is going to turn out in the end. I'm already long overdue for jail, the loony bin, or a guest of honor spot at a monster buffet. But until that fateful day, I'm not going to back down or give up. My name is Brian Foster, and some people call me the Night Blogger. Burma Shave, a Night Blogger bonus episode. You could find one anywhere. It might be a three-ring notebook in the trunk of a long-abandoned car, a manila envelope full of loose-leaf paper hidden in the floorboards of a house, or, as in the case of this one, a composition book being held by a dead man. People in my line of business call them scrapyard diaries, and they're the next best thing to having your life swallowed up by horrors that should not be. The diary we're talking about today was discovered clutched in the hands of a corpse that the local wildlife and the elements had reduced to a bony ruin. Now, I wasn't the one that found the body or the notebook. I was several states away getting into a jam of my own, thank you very much. I was just lucky enough to have a concerned individual forward scans of the diary's few legible pages my way. Usually, when you settle down to read one of these, you find yourself going through what comes down to a little more than a long-winded, supernaturally tinged suicide note. But occasionally, you get a hold of someone's self-made Necronomicon. The page is thick with blasphemy and glitter. This particular diary didn't fit into either of those categories. This time, the story I found went something like this.
The desert heat pressed down on us, making every footstep a misery. We kept glancing up in the hope of seeing a town or a gas station beginning to resolve itself in the distance. But all we saw was the asphalt of the interstate, cutting a straight line to the wavering horizon. I was glad to have someone to walk with on this hellish trip, but I rarely spoke. The man I walked with was the regional sales manager for a software company named Spalding, and he talked enough for the both of us.
All I know is someone's getting sued. I don't give a crap if this car is a rental. This is lost wages and time,
he said.
Did you see those potholes? It's a wonder they don't have a wreck every week, and twice on Sundays.
Both our cars had been damaged by potholes so wide they had almost cut across the road, yet neither I nor Spalding had seen them until it was too late. We'd been heading in opposite directions, but ended up having to pull over to our respective sides of the road, within a few yards of each other.
And this is an interstate! With all the money that we pay into taxes, they should be taking better care of these roads! They're the arteries of the nation! Shipping and commerce, you know what I mean?
I nodded in agreement. Spalding had tried to call a towing service and the police, but his cell phone couldn't find a signal. I, on the other hand, had no cell phone, no credit cards, and even my car wasn't properly registered. Ever since I quit my job, I had been living a ghost-like existence.
How long do you think we've been walking for?
Spalding said.
Must have been hours. Not a single car has come by. There's a new off-ramp near Eden's Corner. I bet it's funneling off all the traffic. Not that there's any kind of excuse for this kind of shoddy upkeep. I mean, look at those potholes! It never ends.
While none of the dents in the asphalt passing us now were as deep as the ones that damaged our cars, there was a jagged quality to them I found singularly unpleasant. Each hole in the blacktop gaped like the mouth of a lamprey. I made sure to walk on the uneven, litter-strewn side of the road. Spalding pointed ahead.
I know the town up ahead. Not much of a town, really. The only business making any money is a scrapyard. They've got a store that used to be a Woolworth's, but it's owned by some old fart, and he runs it by himself, and you can tell. His daughter runs the lunch corner, and she's not a bad cook. Just stay away from the pork chops.
Wherever this town was, there was still no sign of it, and the sun was beginning its downward descent. I did not want to have to walk this stretch of desert at night. There was too much emptiness here. The desolation left my stomach churning. I couldn't wait to reach the town my companion was talking about. But I suspected it would be some time before I could leave. There was no way I could pay for the kind of repairs my car would need.
There are no kids. It's like some kind of retirement community. Everyone's my age or older. Heck, even the town's whore is pushing 50.
He gave me a mischievous nudge.
But she knows what she's doing, so who cares?
Another 90 minutes of walking and pointless conversation, and it was dusk. I had heard about how cold it could get in the desert at night, and I didn't want to think of how dark it would get. I wondered quietly if we could see the lights from the town soon, and I worried that this was all some waking nightmare I could never escape. My bladder groaned, and I excused myself and headed for a nearby road sign. Spalding called after me.
Don't shake it more than twice, buddy.
As I relieved myself, I thought again of the circumstances that had brought me here. Not just the potholes or the dwindling funds. I considered everything. There were times when I worried about my sanity. It wasn't so long ago that I had entertain such lofty aspirations. But now, all I hoped for was to sleep through an entire night and awaken feeling safe. The sun had almost set and the sky had turned a murky shade of purple. I could barely read the print on the weathered old sign. Burma Shave. I almost chuckled at the thought. This was more of a relic than an advertisement. Then, a sound reached my ears. At first I took it to be the sound of wind moving through trees, but there were no trees. Only solitary cactus and half-dead bushes. Then I thought it might be the sound of an evening tide, but in a desert, that was an even more ridiculous idea. Finally, I decided that it must be an approaching vehicle, and I quickly finished and ran to the roadside. I found myself alone. There was no sign of my companion anywhere. I called his name, but there was no answer. A faint slithering sound caused me to turn around, just in time to see something pale disappear into the black top. The gloomy dusk left me uncertain of what I had seen, but sometimes I'm certain what I had seen was a human hand, slipping away as though it was being swallowed by oily liquid. Spalding had called these roads the arteries of the nation. But what might happen if those arteries became starved for blood? As the last light of the day faded into darkness, I began to run, keeping my every footfall far onto the soft shoulder.
So, where did all this happen? And when? Assuming it happened at all, of course. I have no answers for you. All I can say is that there are no Burma shave signs near where the body was found. In fact, the desiccated corpse holding these papers was discovered in the town of Eden's Corners, Georgia. That's right, Georgia. Where the closest thing you'll find to a dirt-choked wasteland is the inside of the local Waffle House. There's no Spalding, first or last name, listed in the missing persons database, and the author of the Scrapyard Diary never signed his work or left any kind of ID or distinguishing marks to puzzle over. So what does it mean? Maybe nothing. Maybe this was just the ravings of a disturbed mind. But if you're ever driving through the desert, you might want to keep an eye out for those nasty potholes. Maybe, just maybe, you should keep some running shoes in the trunk.
The Night Blogger was written and produced by Al Bruno III, with production assistance by Brian Mancy. The voice of the Night Blogger is Brian Mancy. Burma Shave was produced by Moosed Up Narrations and Mr. Creepypasta. If you enjoyed this production, why not consider making a one-time or recurring donation? Your donations really help and are used to support the show. They will also be used to try and find out what that crunching sound is. That one right there. What is that?